people are suffering. They took out the police. Until now, police, 42 or 43 kids of mine have come, children. They're older people also, and they are spread around in the whole whole Pennsylvania state, and the whole of the north and west of nice and nice states. If there would be a person that can go around and travel and do, maybe we can work out the state should pay for it. For somebody to go around. And they need it because, let me explain you again. When I started, the Pope had 167 Jewish patients. 150 went to the Catholic services or the Protestant services, they were Sunday morning. They didn't know something else. They were not a Jewish chaplain, but they went. And I worked with them very hard. Now, you're the last, when I finish, there isn't one Jewish person should go to another place. There's no, they know the rabbi comes, and this is it. In the priest, in the reception chaplain, he will never tell me, rabbi, I want this place should come to me, or something. We have an agreement that I shouldn't take away their people, and they are not taking. I have one girl still in Poland. She wears a cross, and there already so many years, and she still wears a cross. And she told me 10 times, I told her, Esther, take us the cross. So she said, Rabbi, how can I? The sister gave me the cross years ago, and she told me I should never take her, and I promised. I'm showing you this is how it works. So what can I do? She comes to my services, but she wears the cross, and I cannot. We cannot fight with these people. Better to go and they need something.
How many retarded Jewish people do you think we have in these institutions in the Western Pennsylvania?
I have 300, more than 300.
More than 300.
312, 320. Uh huh. Rabbi Weston must also have 100.
Okay. You're right. Go ahead, we won.
Okay, so there are over 400 Jewish people in institutions. Do you think we in the Jewish community are doing enough for these people?
You want me to talk against the Jewish community?
Truthfully, really.
Truthfully, sure, it can be done much more. There is so much to do. There are institutions, I'm giving you 400, but there are institutions that we don't know even. Spread around from the core private institutions in different kind of places, but there is no Jewish chaplain. And one of the greatest things, you should see the happiness where when we have our seder, when we have our Rosh Hashanah dinners, Kippur dinners, Purim, Hanukkah dinners. If somebody comes and they see a few ladies coming, to see people are interested, their faces are shining. And I work a lot. I have in the paper so and you read it, and maybe once in a while I ask people, please come and go. They're coming there once or twice, but there isn't too many people. And that's what I complain. I have nothing against them. Nobody owes me anything. But it would be a great thing if we can. There are our own brothers and sisters. We worry about Vietnam or about China, about all these orphans there. They are orphans. From the 300 children, I have just 21 people that I have families.
That's all.
The
rest
other
have
ones,
no families.
No families. Nobody involved. Not mothers and fathers. They have no families altogether.
Do those families of the 21 even come and care or participate in your services?
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah, the mothers, if there are mothers, I have a few mothers, they're giving away their life and their children. But not all of them but the other ones are orphans. They have nobody in the world.
Do you think that's why they're in the state institutions? because they were so
all
friendly?
Right. There are a few old people they could get out, but there is no place where to place them. There is no, nobody there to come in to talk about them.
Are they all theoretically retarded?
No, we have a few old people that are not retarded. When they get old, they're not retarded anymore. I mean, they don't need medicine anymore. All this is... but they have no... They asked me in a few institutions I should do my best to find Jewish places. I told you the story about an old man he called me. They asked me before they placed him 200 miles from here. They asked me, Rabbi, maybe you can find any money. He is interested in Judaism. I asked that. I mean, there isn't any place that I can place.
Have you talked with United Jewish Federation?
The United Jewish Federation does for me a lot. I mean, the Federation is doing for me a lot. They're helping me financially. And, but such things, they cannot do everything for me. I cannot come with you and you can deal. I talked with the old age, with the old age home. Mm-hmm. They can, it takes a lot of time until somebody can come in. And they are looking more for people that have some kind of financial help. My people haven't got not one kind of maybe they have now $60 a month from Social Security. But really to give, to show something to there isn't. So it's not an easy job. If we could do something to help them, it would be a great thing. And I'm here already so many years, and I go around. Pittsburgh helped me a lot, I'm telling you again and again. It's financially, they helped me. If not, if I wouldn't help, you know, I have every week at least $200 expenses or more. And now I have, I need a driver, so I have $300 expenses. So I have to be thankful in the beginning when I came, we spent our own money. I had saved a few dollars and I spent because I couldn't see the misery. But later on, a year later, little by little, Pittsburgh started to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I have helped. I mean, financially, I thank God I can say that I'm covered with my expenses. But it's not just financially. We have to give up ourselves. We have to go and help and see them. They go with me. And it's a pleasure to sit there. You come, I got today in two places. We sit and we sing together and eat together and discuss together. They're getting there. They have also feelings and like we have. I always say the same Yetzer Hara, you know what the Yetzer Hara is? That is an evil inclination.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same evil inclination as we have. I mean, they need the same thing. They need they see a kid goes in and buys an ice cream. They need an ice cream also. And this is my business that I have to give them. I don't like to buy him an ice cream. Given the money, we should know to go in and to buy an ice cream. And there's hundreds of cases between 300 people. We have all kinds of cases. And if people are coming and they see people are interested, it's a big help for them, a very big help. If we can do something to organize, it would be a great thing.
But have you talked to any of the women's organizations to try to visit some of these state hospitals in their areas,
yeah,
or youth groups to go?
A youth group I have the Hadassah, the Hashachat.
It's part of Hadassah. Do they go regularly?
Not regular. They're going to Hanukkah, they're going to Holt, uh-huh, and they're going to the academy, the Jewish Academy Center, gives me always 3-4 girls are going with me. And they perform, they sing, and they dance. I have this kind of help. But really, grown ups, children are more interested to help than older ladies.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not too many. I mean, I'm not telling you they're not grown. I wouldn't like the Siddish to think that I'm knocking them.
No, but have you ever? gone to National Council of Jewish Women or B'nai B'rith Women or Hadassah Women and say it would be nice if we could have people go to these places maybe twice a year.
With their grace.
What about through,
if the women could organize something, they should go once a week. The women should divide it. Every week should go somebody else with their grace.
They do it in other projects. It depends on whether they have a background themselves in psychology and counseling and therefore want to use that background in a volunteer capacity. A lot of people are being trained now in special education. You hear about grants and you hear about training. But do you think that these people being trained in special education can relate to these patients the way you can because of that extra dimension that you have of being a rabbi?
Okay. I personally think they don't need any special education. It's nothing to it. If they will go once or twice, they will learn. They will see what has to be done. These people need love. So if there are ladies they want to go, would be great. But it's not easy, I understand, and I'm not blaming nobody. I just ask, if they can go, it's okay. If they say no, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best to ask. And I'm never stopping, I'm never getting tired. I'm doing my job to say, go, and if I'm not going, I have to go.
Where do you think you get your strong physical stamina?
Okay,
at 73 years of age, and you go to drive to Altoona and back, and then grant us in sub-zero weather, and then grant us an interview at 8:00 in the evening.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Okay, thank God. God gave me strength. Everybody's strength. That helps. I'm used to it. I have my wife. She helps.
That's great.
She gives me time.
Do the
sometimes she tells me, "Don't go."
Do the inmates continue to practice the religious observances even when you're not there? Like, do you get information from the people that take care of them there whether they can do it even when you're not there? Do they pray? Do they?
Just when I'm there. You know all the projects that I made. I have breakfast, I see the shoes, the old synagogues are giving me once a year a breakfast, Sunday breakfast. And they come to Sunday breakfast, I bring something to Christmas. They have special days, they have all this. We have during the year, I have a lot of things. And that accomplished a lot. Because these children never saw in their eyes a synagogue. They were never in a temple or in a synagogue. This gave them a lot of courage.
I remember I just wanted to say I remember after the Bar Mitzvah, the question was, oh, that's going to be there.
What you're talking is running, so speak up and we'll...
So after the first Bar Mitzvah, about a couple of months later, there were a few from the ones that became Bar Mitzvah that day, and they asked my husband, Rabbi, when am I going to be Bar Mitzvah again?
Could you tell us more about the Big Bar Mitzvah celebration that what kind of training did you have to give people for?
Okay, I trained. There's a Sapir already to diet and to Art from Paul. I taught, there were 11 people I taught in Hebrew. I think I told you already this story.
Mm-hmm.
And they read very good Hebrew. I'm not telling you they could read in every place, but I went through with them the Shema and the whole world. And they could read the Shema, just recognizing the words. If I had the same word in another place, they would read also, they could recognize the word. The alphabet to teach is very hard for them. To teach the Jewish alphabet, the alphabet was very hard. And they learned, and I taught. I have still 28 people. You can ask them, 28 from these people, you can ask them who Abraham, one knows who Abraham was, or the other knows who Isaac was, who Jacob was. They even know who the serpent was that helped him eat, to eat from the fruit. So I do my best to teach it. But all this was, and now I'm too busy I'm working approximately 7 days a week. Shabbos I'm not working, but the 6 full days. So I'm too busy to teach and to all this. It's not easy. If there would be ladies, they would go and they can teach him and they can help us and can help, we can organize those beautiful things. These orphans, they need somebody. I'm telling you again and again, but I'm not telling you you should do it. I'm just saying we're asking, so I explain to them. They need help. They need a lot of help, and we can do so much for these kids, but there's no limit.
And you're teaching them about God and religion. Do they ever ask you, I don't know how deeply they are able to connect their own experience with what you're telling them, but do they ever ask you where God is in terms of helping them because they're where they are?
Their understanding is not so far. They're not going in deeper. They believe. I say there is a God, they will not ask you. They're not smart enough. Their IQ is not so great, they should be able to ask me questions about that, as a normal person asks. Because, not that I told you before, they believe. When I was a rabbi, my congregation did not believe. And now they believe. My congregation now believes. They really believe. If you tell them something, they believe. If you tell them an angel came and told Abraham he should take his son Isaac to the sacrifice, and they believe it. But, same thing I believe. If I believe, I have to teach you, they should believe.
But how often do you see patients
that
you talk to?
I have to see them every day. In this institution where I'm going to one for it. There is winter now, it happens when the day is the snow, I have to leave out. But the whole year I'm going every week to each institution. And I see them every week. I think I told you I had once a case in Polk. I came to Polk and I forgot, and I left Polk and I forgot to see one patient. And I was away already back to my home, 20 miles. And I reminded myself, and I knew that this boy is going to cry if I was there and I did not see him. So I went back, and I was stuck in Polk. It was winter, it was a storm, and I was stuck overnight to come home. Because come going back. So I see every kid.
And they wait for you to come?
They're staying, looking out for the windows. They look out and they cry. Sometimes they cry. One told me, Rabbi, I came late. He knows a blind. There is a blind kid now in Robinson. He was staying at the window. He's blind, but he recognized my voice. He recognized my walk. When I walked, he could recognize this is the Rabbi. So and I came late, and he knew the time, and I know the time. So when I came up, he kissed me and said, Rabbi, I was crying because if not you, I wouldn't be able, I have nothing to live for. That's what he said. So I gave you that in my whole greatness.
It is
great.
It certainly is. How do you put together all the sides of your life by being so rich and full with this help that you're doing for these people, and at the same time being the intellectual that you are, and with your background and with your very deep religious background as well, and truly the fact that you are a scholar, how are you able to juxtapose or put together both of them so well?
Other people have other different things. Everybody is created with some kind of... I mean, God gave me this kind of, I should be able to do it. I mean, it's a gift of God. Other people have other gifts. They can sing, they can play. I cannot sing, I cannot play. But I can do it for a lifetime.
Do you have, would you tell us a little bit about, you refer to the fact that you do have study groups here in Pittsburgh? Are you involved?
We have Shabbos, if you have time. You live too far, you're not allowed to drive. They have here a study group. And there are, nice, your ladies are coming, please. That's one, and the bed is nice. They're coming, they have a beautiful study group.
Where is this?
Here in the Babylon Center. Other places there are rabbis, and not a competition among the rabbis. I selected a place where there is no rabbis in my city, and they are happy that I'm teaching. I'm teaching, I'm not getting paid, not one penny for it, but I enjoy their company. And we have a really beautiful discussion. You know, the ladies are interested to have discussions. Very ladies with a lot of knowledge. I can tell you I have a few ladies that have gone through the Bible before we start, they should know what to ask and what they are going to study.
How you keep referring to the ladies. Do you do any, aren't there any men that help?
No, because I cut now the ladies. There are many also. Men are also. That are for men. For both sexes. What we have, and I used to be, and people are asking me questions again, blaming myself. How comes I know so much, and I really don't know so much. You have to know, I repeated already 73 times, 73 years, the Bible, I'm 73 years old. So
you didn't start at age one now.
No. Okay, so I repeated it at least 65 times. And if you repeat so many times, and I don't have to prepare something because I went through my life. I always was for teaching, discussing. I'm familiar in all this book.
How would you, do you wish that you had worked with the retarded a little earlier in your life?
Yeah, I lost too much time. Okay, but can I? You see, I lost time when I was young, and God gives me years. Somebody else in my age wouldn't do that. But God gives me another few years I should give back, but I owe to God something.
I don't think you were wasting those years away, however.
I was just going to ask you if you wanted to comment further about the lifestyle today. You did make some references, as you said, to your different viewpoint on how you should live your life. You know, we were talking last time, if you remember, about people who for their adolescence, went to parties and different kinds of entertainment. Here in Pittsburgh, could you make any comments about the Jewish community the way you see it?
Yeah, this I wouldn't like. I'm not here to knock somebody, but I wouldn't like to talk about somebody else. I can just
I'm
not here to criticize. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things can be done, but I'm not here to criticize.
But
yes,
could you give it from your viewpoint?
Yeah.
From your viewpoint.
Viewpoint, I personally think you're talking about Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Pittsburgh mm-hmm. is, we went through together. I told you that I was in Europe, and I was in New York, and I was in southern Illinois. Now I'm here. We found Pittsburgh and for our age. It's a beautiful, wonderful city. People are good, friendly, and everything. In the religion, God did not send me here to teach people, to tell people what to do in religion. I mean, people, if they are from, I'm very happy. If they are not from, I'm not telling you I'm also happy, but I have to accept that everyone knows his way, especially in the United States. we have freedom, we can be from, we cannot be, you know what means
mm-hmm.
from?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We cannot be from, everybody goes this way in life. So in this, in the religion, I'm not criticizing somebody. In other things, in charity, I think Pittsburgh is great in charity. They're doing their duty, I know for myself, they're helping. I mean, since I started the first couple of years was hard, but later on they started to help and people are helping. So in other things, I would like they should do more things, but people have their own habit, their own things, and they are doing what they cannot, not everybody can talk and come and go with me to the hospital. They have some that is better people.
Have you set for yourself any specific goals that you still want to make sure you accomplish in the next few years?
If I don't like it.
Of course.
No, the goal is to stay as long as I can. The goal is when I don't stop. My wife always says, what are you going to do? So I told her, I'm telling my wife, if he or she is studying for work, I can sit all day. So not all day, I will fall asleep. But I would like still to study as much as I can.
Are you able to spend much time with your children?
My children are over here.
Mm-hmm. They're both in New York? They're all three of them?
Three.
Right.
One is in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sons is in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Two children live in the city.
And
if I have time, the children complain. Mm-hmm. I tell you they're complaining, they have no time for it. You know, even my wife sometimes complains.
I don't complain, you know, my daughter-in-law had a boy, and he went to the bridge. But the thing is, I didn't go because I wasn't in the hospital. But the children sent me a picture, and my daughter-in-law, my son said, right after the circumcision, he sent me a picture that Papa is with his attaché on the way out.
And you now have a great grandchild?
Two great grandchildren. Two little girls.
We have 11 grandchildren. Two great grandchildren.
You're very
and
blessed.
Our children are very, very fine people.
It sounds though on the holidays that you don't get to spend it with them, you're spending it with your other children.
They're coming for patients we have for their coming.
If I invite it.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I have nothing to say. I think I told you a little too much.
No, not at all. Not nearly enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hilo, you know the great Hilo.
Right, mm-hmm.
One of the Gentiles, he wants to become a Jew, and he asked him, what he should do, what the Torah consists of. So he will say, have the Torah to come up. You should love your neighbor to yourself. This is the whole Torah. So he says, this is the whole Torah, so many books. So he says, the other ones are just commentators on how it should work. The whole Torah is just a commentation, an explanation of how you can love. And it's 100% true. I mean, as you said, your opinion is to do good deeds. It's very good. How far you just want you to do good deeds? But we give us other mitzvahs, other commandments that it brings you to do the good deeds. Through the commandments, you start to understand that the other human being is also a person, and the other has to live as good as you have to live. Through the commandments we are learning about. I'm giving you a little lecture. There is about Moshe Rabbeinu. You know who Moshe Rabbeinu was. In Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says he was the humblest man in the whole. There is not going to be such a humble person as Moshe Rabbeinu. And so there is a beautiful explanation about humbleness. We have a Mishnah that starts with Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah from Mount Sinai. And the question is, why from Mount Sinai? He took it from God. Why it's written from Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai couldn't give him a Torah. So the explanation is Mount Sinai is a low, is a humble mountain. Mount Sinai is not a mountain. If you were in Sinai, you could be just a hill. So the reason we say Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah because he learned from Mount Sinai we have to be humble. If the world would be humble, I mean, to know that the other person is greater than I am, to understand that the other person is better than I am, that we don't need those. The Torah is just given to teach us that we have to do that, we have to do that. You think if everybody would be humble, we would have war, we would have jealousy, we would have all these bad habits. If everybody would be humble and to understand that the other person is greater than I am, we don't need a Torah. The Torah is just teaching us how to be humble and to understand, to consider the other person like yourself or higher than you. This is a real